Hello! Thank you for joining us today on the eighth day, the last great day. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It was on this day that Jesus preached at the temple, teaching about the river of living water that would flow from believers. He asked that all who thirst should come to him so they could drink. What most heard that day to them would have been a strange message of a river flowing from their bodies, not understanding that what Jesus was speaking of was the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't have been able to understand his message because they did not yet have the Holy Spirit. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus knew that with his death and resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of God was inching closer and closer. He would have known of the new heavens and the new earth long before John wrote of these in the book of Revelation, because this is also mentioned in Isaiah. Isaiah also writes of a 100-year period, a time when all people will live to be 100 years. And the only person who will find themselves in trouble at the end of the time period will be the sinner. For everyone else, this 100-year time period, which Revelation shows to precede the time of the new heaven and new earth, will be a time of abundance, peace, and personal satisfaction. Isaiah 65, verse 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." David wrote how the loving kindness of God was better than life. When we think of David, king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, we might have an image of somebody who is living a wonderful life. But the loving kindness of God was better than the life David had. Through God, David found comfort and joy. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. In Romans, we are told to own nothing but love, because love fulfills the law. Love never seeks harm for another person. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. When Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets, we can see that Jesus came to fulfill the law through love. And Jesus taught love, even giving us a new commandment to have love for one another. When Jesus taught that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, love is how this happens. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Paul wrote to the Galatians, explaining, we have freedom from the penalty of the law, and that we fulfill the law by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We don't know if Paul was present as one of the Pharisees when Jesus explained what the great commandment in the law was. We do know that Jesus showed that all the law and the prophets hang on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To the Philippians, Paul wanted them to be like-minded, having the same love. That unity included favorable considerations of others more than the self, being also aware of what was important to other people as well. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. James reminds us to love our neighbors as ourselves. To do this, he explains, we cannot show favoritism to people. We cannot look down on the poor just because they are poor, nor can we give honor to the rich just because they are rich. We need to consider that all people are important to God, and we need to have love and consideration for all people. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and if there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Having been given the Holy Spirit and thoroughly reading the Bible gives us a great deal of understanding. We can look within the household of faith to see the Holy Spirit at work, and seeing the Holy Spirit at work should cause us to want more of the Holy Spirit. And yet Paul wants us to consider there is a better way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. We can desire to have more of the Holy Spirit, but love is the better way to go, because love fulfills the law. Today, it might be said, Paul encourages us to be results-oriented, focused on love as the fulfillment of the law, instead of being process-oriented, where we get more and more of the Holy Spirit to get to love. Paul is encouraging us to consider the result of love and see that as what is best. He goes on to explain that even if he could give the best sermon ever preached, without love, it would be meaningless. He shows that if he could fully understand every element of prophecy, without love, it would be meaningless. Without love, there is nothing we see as spiritual that adds value to who we are. Without love, we are at best hollow. Love will never fail, and is even greater than hope and faith. Understanding the connection of love to who we are spiritually is what separates the spiritually mature from the spiritually immature. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That love that we are to have is like the love that Jesus Christ had for each of us, giving his human life so we all could have hope of eternal life. When Ezekiel writes of the valley of dry bones that come back to life, a passage we look at on this day, what we might not immediately consider is the role love plays in this passage. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, an act of love by Jesus Christ, there would be no valley of dry bones brought back to life. Without love, this prophecy could not be fulfilled. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. It is on this day that we especially focus on the promises of the new heavens and the new earth, the future home of righteousness. Peter wrote of this in a second letter. Even the new heaven and the new earth first needed love through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men should count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The process to get to that new heavens and new earth requires many things to happen first. And again, all of these first required the love showed by Jesus Christ so that these could happen. Through the love showed by Jesus in his death and resurrection, these prophecies are fulfilled. When we read of Satan being bound and cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, none of that would lead up to eternal life for us without the love first shown by Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. When we read of the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel, we can see from this passage from Revelation that that happens at the end of the 1,000-year period, when the rest of the dead live again. We who are called at this time will be part of the first resurrection, which happens at the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. But they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When those who have lived before are resurrected at the end of the 1,000-year period, Satan will also be released from his bottomless pit prison. He will deceive some of the people alive, called in the Bible Gog and Magog, who will try to overthrow the kingdom of God. They will be utterly destroyed by God, who sends fire down from heaven. It is then that Satan is tossed into the lake of fire. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. But the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. It is then we come to the great white throne judgment, where those who are resurrected after the thousand-year period are judged according to their works and the book of life. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those who are worthy of life, whose names are written in the book of life, are given eternal life. Each person is given one opportunity for salvation. For those who already have the Holy Spirit, that time is now. And for all who are awaiting their calling, or who lived and who were never called, they will have an opportunity for eternal life later. It is not a second opportunity for eternal life. Everyone has one opportunity for eternal life, and for all the people resurrected at the end of the thousand-year period, that will be their opportunity. There will be some who will face the lake of fire because their name will not be found in the book of life. These will be made up of people who today have committed the unpardonable sin, and those in the future who are resurrected at the end of the thousand-year period, and then who are deceived by Satan. Then, we come to the new heaven and new earth after Satan and death itself are defeated. It is then we will know what peace is really like. God and Jesus Christ will live with the people and rule from New Jerusalem. All pain and suffering that mankind has ever known will be no more, as all things are new. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. New Jerusalem is described in ways that seem unimaginable to us today. We've all probably seen the science fiction account of aliens coming to Earth with massive and ugly spaceships, so large the spaceship seems to take the entire sky. The vision of New Jerusalem descending from heaven also suggests a massive city, bigger than anything we have ever seen before. But this city will be extremely beautiful and wonderful, with the walls made up of precious gemstones. The gates of the city are made of massive pearls. The city is made of gold, and the gold so pure, it is almost transparent. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. But the foundations of the wall and the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The river of water of life flows purely and cleanly from the throne of God and Jesus Christ, as majestic as Major Boulevard in a big city. Along the edge of the river of water of life will be the tree of life, circling us back to the Garden of Eden. With Satan out of the way, the tree of life will be available to all. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. And the tree itself has 12 different fruits. And the tree of life always is producing ripe fruit. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. A final blessing is given to the reader of the book of Revelation who doesn't ignore the prophecies. These are the people who, when Jesus Christ returns, will be found so doing. And because they have read the book, they will be aware of the trying times to come and will remain faithful. These are the people who worship God, who seek God's righteousness and the kingdom of God. At the return of Jesus Christ, These are the people who will be found righteous and worthy of eternal life. If we want to be part of this future time of the new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem, we have to do the commandments. For the Church of God, for all who have the Holy Spirit, now is the time for us to thirst for those living waters and to drink of the Holy Spirit freely. Within the Church of God, we cannot minimize what is taught through the book of Revelation, nor can we add to it, lest we be cursed by God. Verse 6. He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Another Feast of Tabernacles has come and will soon be gone. For some of us, we can count the feasts we have attended in decades more than just years. It might seem we have been of the household of faith for a very long time, and yet the promise of Jesus Christ remains the same, that he will come quickly. We all look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, knowing that will come at a time of God's choosing. We all anticipate the return of Jesus, and that anticipation can give us a sense of excitement and patience and cause us to really think about the kingdom of God. We have to patiently await the return of Jesus Christ, knowing we have this promise that Jesus will return quickly. Quickly, as that term means, to God. With God, there is no delay in having Jesus Christ return. If the promise given to us is to return quickly. We know many things have to happen first. As we move on from the Feast of Tabernacles, we must find ourselves so doing what God and Jesus Christ would expect of us. Everything that will happen for us through prophecy is the result of the love that God and Jesus Christ have for us. And we must also have love. Brotherly kindness and love are important to us because this is what ensures unity of the faith. And we know that it is good and pleasant when the brethren dwell together in unity. Collectively, we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing this will lead to godliness. If we are the children of God, we should want to be like our father and older brother, because mankind was made in their image and likeness. For nearly 2,000 years, our brothers and sisters in Christ who lived generations ago also patiently awaited his return. We never tire of waiting, and patience for us means keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. As we wait, we also maintain self-control as we celebrate the kingdom of God. Everything we do must be aligned to what we believe. What we do will be done without ego and from a place of meekness, seeking nothing for ourselves and seeking peace for all. There is nothing deceptive about us. There can be no shading the truth to gain an advantage. Instead of lies and deceptions, we will focus on those things which are true and honest. What we do will be based on faith, not only doing what God expects of us, but to show love to other people and help them as we are able to do so. And we won't draw back in what we do. We will remain constant. We will be diligent. And when Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God, we will be resurrected and have eternal life. Thank you for joining us today and during the Feast of Tabernacles. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.